Hi, and welcome to the Histories Inc. podcast series. I'm Mallory Nye, and this is episode 5, HIP 005, in which I'll be introducing another of the main themes of the podcast series. If you're new to this Histories Inc. podcast, then I recommend you also listen to podcast episode 1, HIP 001, at the bottom of the list on iTunes, to get a feel for the overall aims of the series. And if you'd like more information about the podcast, then you can go onto my website, mallorynye.com/histories-inc. This time, I'll be talking about another aspect of religion in the formation of the contemporary world. That is, the role of Islam in the development of the European engagement beyond Europe. That is, how Islam and Muslims, in their existence, helped to create Europe. And like with the previous two episodes, that's episodes 3 and 4 on the Reformation, I found myself again with a large mass of things I want to talk about around this topic, even though it's still an introduction. So again, I'm dividing this discussion over two episodes. That's this one, HIP 005, and the next one, HIP 006, which you should listen to after you finish this one. They're both round about 15 minutes or so. I hope this all works for you. Please let me know if you have any problems with this. So much of what I'll be talking about in this episode is Europe, the history of Europe. For some, Europe means a place, a landmass with clear boundaries, with sea to the west, that's the Atlantic Ocean, and to the south, the Mediterranean. For others, it is about a place and a people, the land of the Europeans, from Greece to Britain, who have not only had an impact in their own region or continent, but who have collectively and individually had an impact on much of the contemporary world. But for me, the study of the emergence of Europe is not necessarily about either the place and its boundaries, or the people and their histories. It is more about the idea of itself. The idea of Europe and of being European. This idea of Europe is what has emerged through history, through the politics of many different peoples, over time, and in interaction with each other and with those they consider as outside of this Europe. And in particular, the idea of Europe has emerged over the millennia in opposition to perceptions of Islam and Muslims being outside of Europe. For most contemporary Europeans, and for many in history, Europe and Christianity overlap. Until the discovery of the New Worlds of America, the extent of Christian lands, that is, Christendom, were exactly Europe. That is, Europe is, or at least was historically, the place where Christians lived and ruled. There were some small exceptions to this. During much of the Middle Ages, there was an idea, a myth or a story of a Christian kingdom to the east or the southeast, ruled over by a dominant Christian king named Prester John. In fact, there were small pockets of non-European Christians far away from the boundaries of what is considered Europe. For example, the Thomas Church in southwestern India and the Ethiopian Abyssinian Kingdom. What is largely forgotten, however, is that the extent of Christianity in history was far more than the boundaries of what is commonly now thought of as Europe. Thus, up until the 8th century, most of North Africa was considered as much of a Christian land as what is now Italy or France, and more so than Germany or Scandinavia. Likewise, Turkey, what was then Anatolia, was under Byzantine Greek rule. In fact, not only was Anatolia Christian or Greek, the areas to the south of that, what are now Syria, Lebanon, Palestine and Israel, what are broadly known as the Levant, were also under Greek Byzantine, that is Christian rule. Of course, in each of these places, the Levant, Anatolia and North Africa, there have continued to be Christians up until the present day, although from the 7th century onwards, such Christians became the minorities, not the ruling groups. What changed this, and in effect helped to draw the boundaries of what we now consider the limits of Europe or Christendom, was the rise of a political force focused on the spread of Islam. In short, the boundaries of Europe have become where Christendom ends and the Muslim world starts. The Straits of Gibraltar, the Mediterranean Sea, and the Balkans and the Bosphorus. The main point of this is to recognise that there was nothing designed about this. It's not the way things had to happen. History happened in the way that it did, but it could have happened differently. And if it had been different, we would have inherited a very different sense of history and who we are. Or to put this another way, the idea of being European is historical. It is the product of particular histories, the battles that were won and lost, decisions made by armies, generals, and monarchs, connections made through trade. Europe is not simply a continent with easy borders. It is instead a very rich concept that has become what it is through centuries of change and conflict. The 7th century saw the rise of an empire created initially out of the Arabian Peninsula, rooted in the development of the newly established religion of Islam. By the year 642, just 10 years after the death of the Prophet Muhammad, the Muslim rulers, the Rashidun, the first of the caliphs, the regents or representatives of God, had expanded to the north of Arabia and into the Levant and Egypt, and they had won significant territories from the Greek Byzantines, cities such as Jerusalem and Damascus. Their emerging empire spread to the east into Mesopotamia, that's Iraq, and then Armenia, Iran, and Afghanistan, and also to the west, moving quickly after 665 across North Africa. This was accompanied by raids across the Mediterranean to islands such as Cyprus, Rhodes, and Sicily. In North Africa, the armies were by now under the Umayyad dynasty, based in Damascus. From Alexandria, the empire spread to Tripoli, Carthage, and across to the western province of Mauritania Tingitana, what is now northern Morocco, all of which were Byzantine provinces. All of these fell under Umayyad political control in the space of just a few decades. By the beginning of the 8th century, the Umayyad Empire had extended right across the North African coast, as far as the Atlantic. Thus, although the North African lands that stretched from the Straits of Gibraltar to Alexandria had been for centuries under largely Latin Byzantine rule, with the establishment there of Umayyad Muslim rule, these areas went out of the Byzantine sphere of influence. This had a large impact on the Eastern Roman Byzantine Empire, since much of their grain came from North Africa. But from the longer perspective of history, a perhaps more significant change happened. That is, Carthage, Tripoli, Alexandria, and the rest of North Africa were transformed out of the Christian world. Or to put this another way, if they hadn't come under the rule of the Umayyads, then it is very likely they would have remained as Christian lands, and so be considered as part of Europe. Having reached the western end of North Africa, the armies of this fast expanding empire then looked northward, across the Straits of Gibraltar to the Hispanic Peninsula, then ruled by the Christian Catholic Visigoths. An invasion began in 711 by the general Tariq ibn Ziyad, himself a North African Berber, and by 716 nearly all of the peninsula was under Umayyad rule. Thus was established the region of Al-Andalusia, Andalusia, Muslim or Moorish Spain. Resistance to this did continue long after that, starting initially with the leader Pelagius, who re-established the kingdom of Asturias in 723 in the northwest. This largely coincided with the further expansion of the Umayyad Empire across the Pyrenees into southwest France, into the region of Aquitaine, and the taking of the strategic port of Narbonne on the Mediterranean coast. At first, the advance of this Muslim army was held back by armies from the north, particularly in the Battle of Toulouse in 721, and when the Umayyad army returned to the Iberian Peninsula in 722, they were again defeated by Peleo, as we've heard, in Asturias. But history in particular remembers what was probably a much larger battle in the north of France, close to the very wealthy abbey of St. Martin of Tours, which occurred around the time of October 732. That is the Battle of Tours and Poitiers, in which the Umayyad army was defeated by a purportedly smaller force of Franks, led by their ruler Charles Martel, Charles Martel. In a fairly contemporary document, known as either the Chronicle of 754 or the Mozarabic Chronicle, which was written in Latin by the unknown Iberian Christian chronicler Mozarab, this chronicle describes the Frankish army of Charles as Europeans, Europenses. In fact, this is the first known use of the term in Latin. Although the term was known from ancient Greece, the western part of the old Roman Empire, an empire which had of course disappeared several centuries before, had never been referred to as Europe before this time in this way. Thus the chronicle tells the story that, after each side had tormented the other with raids for almost 7 days, they finally prepared their battle lines and fought fiercely. The northern people, that is the Franks, remained as immobile as a wall, holding together like a glacier in the cold regions. In the blink of an eye, they annihilated the Arabs with the sword. The people of Austrasia, that's the Franks, greater in number of soldiers and formidably armed, killed the king, Abdarrahman, when they found him, striking him on the chest. Rising from their own camp at dawn, the Europeans saw the tents and canopies of the Arabs all arranged, just as they had appeared the day before. Not knowing that they were empty, and thinking that inside them there were Saracen forces ready for battle, they sent officers to reconnoitre, and discovered that all the Ishmaelite troops had left. They had indeed fled silently by night in tight formation, returning to their own country. In one sense, therefore, it's possible to say that the Europeans, as the Christian people of the lands of the old Western Roman Empire, came to be known as such through this initial macro-historical conflict between the Muslim Andalusian Umayyads and the Christian Franks. That is, the idea of being distinctly European is first associated with the Battle of Tours-Poitiers in France in 732. Indeed, this battle is firmly established in the history of Europe, and Charles Martel has gone down in many accounts as the so-called saviour of Europe, the leader who saved European Christians from being overrun by the Muslim armies. For example, the 18th century historian Gibbon wrote in his book The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, "A victorious line of march had been prolonged above 1,000 miles from the Rock of Gibraltar to the banks of the Loire, and the repetition of an equal space would have carried the Saracens to the confines of Poland and the highlands of Scotland. The Rhine is not more impassable than the Nile or Euphrates, and the Arabian fleet might have sailed without a naval combat into the mouth of the Thames." Perhaps the interpretation of the Quran would now be taught in the schools of Oxford, and her pupils might demonstrate to a circumcised people the sanctity and truth of the revelation of Muhammad. In short, what he is saying, if it wasn't for the Franks, and Charles Martel in particular, defeating them at the Battle of Tours-Poitiers, Europe would now be a Muslim continent, and England would be a Muslim country. In fact, contemporary historians have countered this. They now tend to play down the significance of this particular Battle of Tours in terms of the spread of Umayyad political influence of France and other parts of what we now call Europe. It's too much to say that that one battle stopped what might have been the inevitable spread of Umayyad political rule over France, Germany, and Britain. But the Umayyad armies from Andalusia had certainly taken control of a considerable part of southern France by the time of this battle, and they would most likely have advanced further, either east into what is now Germany, or north across the Channel into what is now England, if it hadn't been for the growing challenge posed by the Frankish armies. Indeed, this growing political dominance of the region by the Franks under Charles Martel meant that in the decades following the battle, the Franks expanded into the southern parts of France, which had been taken and were being ruled over by the Umayyad Andalusians. Charles, and later his son, fought a long campaign to drive the Andalusians back from France over the Pyrenees, and particularly out of the port of Narbonne. In effect, this enabled the Franks to take control of the whole of France, as well as their lands in northern Germany. This power base led Charles Martel's grandson, Charlemagne, the Great Charles, to become crowned in 800 as the ruler of the revived Roman Empire, in the entity that came to be known as the Holy Roman Empire. This empire, more than any other, institutionalized the political domination of the Catholic Christian Church across the region or the continent for centuries. If the Battle of Tours was the first recorded instance of the western and central parts of the continent being labelled as Europe, the advent of Charlemagne's Holy Roman Empire established a political unity of Europe as a Christian region. In many respects, this was founded on two things in particular. Firstly, the unity of the Christian Roman Empire, as envisaged in particular by Emperor Constantine, before the split between Rome and Byzantium. And secondly, as a mirror image of the general unity of the Muslim lands, ruled initially by the Umayyad Caliphs in Damascus, and then after the year 750, the Abbasid Caliphs in Baghdad. This caliphate, Umayyad and then Abbasid, organized as the body or the nation of the Muslim world, the Ummah. It was an empire that considered itself as a progressive religious polity, united by faith and politics. Where the Christian lands, i.e. Christendom, ended and the caliphate held control, were therefore the borders of Europe. So that's where I'm going to break this discussion for now and end this episode. I will then take it back up again in the next episode, HIP 006, when I'll talk about the historic issues between the Muslim and European worlds on the eastern end of the Mediterranean. That is, in particular, between the Byzantines and the growing power of the Ottoman Turks. And if you haven't been there already, you can get more information about me and these podcasts on my website at mallorynye.com/podcasts, along with details of my two other podcast series that I host. But that's it for now. I'll see you in the next episode. Bye for now.